Good morning, everyone. 10 minutes after the hour. So glad you joined us, and I hope your Monday is off to the right start. And thanks for being with us. Bill Arnold in for Dr. Bill Meyer today. And on Mondays, we oftentimes get a chance to speak to Dr. Linda Mintel. And, of course, she is the star of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, which airs on weekends, Saturdays at 10. And it's always a thrill to talk to you, Dr. Linda. Nice to have you on board. Welcome.
Welcome. And listen, let me just tell you, it was not my idea to call my show by my name, but I was told that that's like what you do. So, yes, I am the star because I am the person who's talking.
You are such a star. And then I want to talk this morning about dealing with disappointment. Now, yeah. That's a big topic, and I know my mother is listening, and I'm sure she's disappointed. So go ahead.
Well, I wrote a blog on this, Bill, because so many people just feel let down in their life. And as someone who's been a therapist for over 25 years, you know, person after person, you would hear about, there really is no one in my life I feel like I can depend on. And unfortunately, you hear that from people that go to churches as well, where they feel like, man, I just, you know, want somebody I can trust, somebody I can talk to, someone that I feel like will listen to me and will be there for me. And there's so many people who get so easily let down because people aren't perfect and people disappoint us. And even people in the church can sometimes say things that offend or not respond the way you would like them to respond to. So I thought we need to really talk about where do we put our trust and how do we deal with this business of being let down. And of course, when I look for real insight into anything, I look to the Bible, and there's always a chapter, verses that really speak to this. And so I think we can talk about some things that could really help.
Well, let me ask you, where do our expectations come from? I mean, usually disappointment is relative to expectations. I think there's a great line in one of C.S. Lewis' books said that before you enter a room, you're told it's a honeymoon suite. You open the door and you go, wow, what a dump. But if you're told that it's a prison cell, you open the door and you go, whoa, this is nice.
Yeah, that's a great example. I think for a lot of us, we all want to find that person and that place where people are going to do exactly what we need every time we need it. And that's part of being unrealistic. I think a lot of times this comes from being hurt and wounded in your personal life, whether it was during your childhood days or maybe even with adult friends or family members or whatever. So sometimes we set the bar too high like that and we don't have realistic expectations of what people can do or not do for us. And other times we've just had a lot of wounding where we are very guarded in terms of trusting people. So it can happen both ways. But, you know, I'm hoping that we're always hoping that in the body of Christ, that when we do feel let down and disappointed by someone in the church, that there is some move to talk to that person and see if we can just at least talk it through and figure out what happened and then move to the person who we can really trust, who is always God.
What if I just read a self-improvement book and I'm supposed to have all these great new ambitions and now you've just squashed them?
Yeah, because I'm going to take you to the only person you can ever really trust, and that's God. Now, I'm saying that. I'm married. I've been married for a lot of years. I do feel like I can trust my husband. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can trust people in my family, and I feel like people in my family would not let me down for certain things. But ultimately, if you're looking where do I find that complete place of trust, the only one that is going to be able to do that for you is God. And he's the only one that promises to never leave us, never forsake us, never abandon us, to meet our needs, to be there, the person who will always be with us because he's God Emmanuel. So there really isn't anyone short of God who can meet every single need and always be there when we need somebody to be there.
Okay, you have just declared the truth. Why are our heads so thick?
Well, I mean, you know, it's great. It's wonderful having a relationship with the Lord. It's essential. It's the way that we're defined in terms of who we are. But we also like those characteristics of God to be kind of falling over into our regular relationships as well. So who doesn't want to have that person who will stay with them and be with them and walk them through a difficult time? Actually, as the body of Christ, we're called to do that. So we've been getting a lot of challenging sermons in our church about what does it look like to really be the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it has to do with a couple of things that I found in Joshua. One of the things when I was reading through the first chapter of Joshua was kind of a notion that came to me that it took effort for Joshua to be with the Lord. you know, Joshua, the tabernacle was pitched out away from the camp, mm-hmm. which meant they had to walk to it. They had to seek out God. They had to, you know, go where his presence was. Mm-hmm. And I think that speaks to a lot of the inconvenience that a lot of times the things that we need to do, and I've been very convicted of this, do I really wake up every morning and meditate day and night on the Word of God? Do I, you know, do I get up when I would rather sleep in from that, you know, late night and not go to the Sunday school class? I can't do that because I teach a Sunday school class, so I have to be there. But mm-hmm. we talk about this, you know, it's inconvenient a lot of times to develop a relationship with the Lord in the intense way where you then do feel his presence and you do know that he is there and that you do understand his promises to you. So mm-hmm. a lot of times it's, you know, the, doing the hard work, not only with other people, but spending time with God and meditating on his word day and night.
Yeah.
And those are the things that help us.
Okay, when we come back, I want your thoughts on how Christian women are using social media. So we're going to take a little break. It's 16 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us this morning. Bill Arnold in for Dr. Bill Meyer. Be right back. Bill Arnold in for Dr. Bill Meyer. I'm talking to Dr. Linda Mintel. And Rebecca says, you know, she's always so happy. It is true. You're always so happy. You'll kind of fire us all up around here. Thank you for doing that.
Well, my husband might disagree with that. I don't know.
Well, let's get him on the line. I'll set him straight.
There you go.
I'll clear up this issue once and for all. You are always happy.
That's right.
But I at least appreciate all the joy you bring to the station and the show. And the Dr. Linda Mintel show is on Saturdays at 10:30, Sundays at 4:30. And it's a wonderful show. I suggest you listen and never miss it. There you go. All right. Now, let's talk about social media and how Christian women in particular use social media.
So you all sent me a link from an August survey by Barna Group. And so I was looking at in Proverbs 31. I was looking at this and kind of trying to make sense of some of this data that was in there. And it's really interesting because it doesn't look like Christian women use social media a whole lot differently than non-Christian women do. Although I would say, based on this, that we're more on Facebook, according to this, than any other type of social media, which is a little bit of a surprise. And I wonder if that has to do with the younger demographic, because I find that a lot of the younger women that I know who are Christians are on Twitter and some of Instagram and some of these other sites. So I don't know what the age of that survey data was. But Facebook has certainly become just mainstay for most of us. I mean, I am that demographic. I do get up. Should I admit that I get up and one of the first things I do is look at my social media accounts just to check in? Mainly for me, I use it to check in to see what's happened in the world. So as opposed to maybe decades ago where people would turn on their TVs to see did anything happen overnight or was there any main thing, I go on immediately in the morning just to see did anything happen in the world.
Okay,
you know, is there some news story?
Yeah, here's my question, Linda. And what was alarming to me was the length of time spent.
I know.
Now, tell me, how much time do you spend in the morning when you check?
You know, I don't spend a lot, but I can find myself. And there was a little note there in one of the lines about how one of the negatives is you can get distracted by social media. So it is kind of tempting at times to get on there, and then you go, oh, look at that story. Oh, Kim Kardashian got robbed in Paris this morning. That was the one I saw.
I was in Minneapolis. I have a ironclad alibi, just so you know.
Okay. Well, she's fine for the listening audience.
Yes,
that
just
she did
so you
not
know,
get hurt.
I was in
the process.
Minnesota
a lot
yesterday.
Of jewelry.
Yes, of
a lot
course.
Of jewelry missing. And Kanye had to interrupt his concert, so that's what I know.
Yeah.
But that's kind of distracting. I really did not need to know that this morning when I was getting ready. And I think that the struggle for me is when I do that, it does take away from some of my time where I could be spending it in the Bible and maybe doing some better productive kinds of things. So that's one of the issues with that is it can be very distracting. But let's just talk about a lot of the positive stuff that comes out of that, because I was really impressed when I read this that Christian women they don't report being as jealous and coveting and all the things that, you know, we worry about when people get on social media. You know, you're going to see that big house and go, well, why don't I have a big house? Or, you know, they have a grandbaby. I don't have a grandbaby to put pictures of. But it looks like the Christian women are not so focused on that and are really using social media more to connect, to learn new things. And I think, Bill, based on my Twitter account, I think that Christian women use this a lot of times to be encouraged and look for inspiration and encouragement. And it's just another way of connecting. You know, when you're with a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old all day and you don't talk to an adult and you can take a quick check on Twitter or something and you can see a Bible verse or an encouraging word, sometimes it's all you need to just kind of go, okay, yep, I can do this.
Kind of an instant sense of community.
Yes.
Even if it's digital.
Yeah, well, but it, you know what? This is the world now. It is digital. So I think the issue is that we have to find ways to use the digital technology in a healthy way, in a connecting way, never replacing that face-to-face contact. And that's always the concern with people. If you're a Christian woman and you're sitting on Facebook and you're using this as your only means to have relationships with people, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to look at it as it's another tool to connect to other people and to do this in a way maybe of encouraging others rather than a lot of the negative things that we were talking about.
I have heard about the pressure that people feel to post things that are cool. And there was a video that a mom was taking of her 8-year-old son. And at the conclusion of the video, the son said, "Mom, do you think that's Facebook worthy?"
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids even know.
Kids are aware.
That's the downside of this, is that you're always putting on the happy face and the positive spin, and you're editing your photographs, you know, on some, you know, photo editing site, so you always look terrific and all this, and then people meet you and go, what? So you have to be careful with that.
Wow, that's
but, you know, that's
complexion.
The downside.
Yeah.
And there are some studies that show that people who are on Facebook, teenagers in particular, it's interesting, I was just looking at something the other day, teens who spend a lot of time on social media have higher rates of depression and anxiety. And again, my guess is going to be that this is substituting for the real needs that they have. And of course, then there's all the cyberbullying and all the crazy stuff that happens on social media. But the one stat that really I don't really understand, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to look into this more, is that from this survey, they found out that significantly more, it's more likely for Christian women than the average American woman to feel anxious if they haven't checked their social media in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So that really jumped out at me in the survey, and I thought, what is that about?
Mm-hmm.
Linda, why are we feeling anxious?
Yeah, Linda, we just got about a minute left. I want to just ask you real quick about, you know, more stuff, more money, more contentment.
Yeah, no, not so much.
Yeah.
So again, looking at getting away from that materialistic view, that worldview of prosperity, and getting much more into what is true success. What do we define? We don't define success by all that stuff. We define it by a personal relationship with Jesus where we're impacting people for eternal things. And that's why I think the positive side of social media can be encouraging people in the Lord, encouraging obedience to the Word of God, remembering that in the difficult times that you have, that God is there and He will walk you through the difficulties, not always take you out, but walk you through. So again, that tool can be used in a positive way to encourage us in the things that are of value and of eternal importance.
That's good wisdom, because I've been thinking about becoming a minimalist after I get all the stuff I want.
There you go.
Yeah.
Linda, let me know how that works.
Right. Linda, thanks so much.
And you can tweet it to me.
I will. I'll tweet it on social. I'll Facebook it to you. I'll get it to you somehow.
Right.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
All right.
26
great
minutes after the hour. You bet. Bill Arnold in for Dr. Bill Meyer. We'll take a short break and be right back.